Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And I was thinking about the passage we're going through, really the book we're going through. And I was thinking about the will of God. And I know that many of you have struggled with what is God's will? What should I be doing? What should I not be doing? What is God's will for my life? Where should I move? Where should I go to school? What job should I take? Who should I marry? Should I stay or should I go now? Stuff like that. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. It just came to me and I couldn't turn back. I think about the will of God, and so often I think that we assume that comfort and fear will be kind of the determining factor in God's will. If I'm comfortable, it must be God's will. If it's not scary, of course, it's God's will. And yet, as I look at our book that we're diving into, there's a temptation of fear over and over again. It is not comfortable. It is not something familiar. And so with that in mind, I want you to think about the will of God for your own life as we begin our study today. What does God have for you? What is he doing in your life? What does he want you to be a part of? What is it that he want? What kind of relationships does he want you to have? How does he want you to serve? In what ways? In what situation? These are all the types of questions that we should be mindful of as we look at our passage today. I want to encourage you to stand in honor of God's word, and I'd like to read to you from Joshua chapter 1. And I'll be reading the whole chapter, the whole chapter. We'll just be going over the verses 10 through the end in our time this morning. But I want to give you some context as well as a review. God's word says this: after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into a land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and to go in and to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they shall also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your land and possessions and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. God, thank you for your word, and I ask for your blessing upon our time. Help us to understand how you would have us live in light of this. God, thank you for your servant Joshua and those who were faithful before us. God, help us to be faithful in our generation, in our time, in your church. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's not too much about Jesus in our passage today. In fact, the book of Joshua, there's not too much about Jesus in it. But what I want you to know, just thinking about this today, and I want you to think about the revelation that it's progressive. You know, in Genesis, we know very little about Jesus. We know that there's one coming that will take care of the enemy, that will crush the serpent, right? We know there's one coming, but we don't know much more than that. We know about Abraham and how he was promised land, seed, and blessing. And we look at these things and we see just small pieces. And now in the book of Joshua, we see what it is to follow after our Heavenly Father, to listen to his words, to live based on his promises. And know this, that as in time, as you know, in the New Testament, that the Messiah will come and make himself known, that we can have our sins forgiven, confidently following the Savior. And so we go back to the book of Joshua, and as we look at this, and I just wanted to refresh your memory. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Joshua after Mother's Day, and wasn't it a great weekend last weekend to hear from Eric Mock and encouragement of him and Christy and what God is doing in Israel and Ukraine and Russia and parts of Europe that they get to be a part of. And I was just so encouraged by that, and I was encouraged too that a church is always called to their area, their time and their place, to live with in whatever circumstance they're in. And just be mindful of that as things go on for us too, that this is our place, this is our time, and even as things might get different, that we would be faithful here in this place, here in this time. In the book of Joshua, it starts out after the death of Moses, and what you see here is a transition of being the commander or the man in charge or the leader. It goes from Moses to Joshua. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, over and over again. It's reiterated that God promised to Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I will lead you. I will be the one that will be enough for you. And because I'm enough for you, Moses, I will be enough for my people as well. And there was this idea, because they didn't have the scripture as we did, that Moses would share with them about God and that they would trust in the God of Moses. But they also heard of their ancestors, right? And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they would connect all this together, that this was the same God. The God who spoke to Moses and said, I am. That's the God we're talking about. And he's the one true God. And so as we look at this book, this first chapter, we realize that Moses now is gone, but Joshua is there. He is the new commander of God's people. As you think about this, there's two things that really stood out to me as we looked at these few weeks back. The first one being this, that the reason for courage for Joshua is not that he knew what he was doing. This should be an encouragement to us, right? It's not that you know what you're doing. It's not that you know what's coming next. For Joshua, there was a sense where he had seen years prior what was coming next, right? He kind of had seen. They're going to cross the Jordan, but it's 40 years later, you know, and so there might be different. And so there was a sense of kind of knowing, but not really knowing. But the promise that God gave to Moses, but he also gave to Joshua is this: I will not leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And remember, I went through that and I talked about in Deuteronomy where Moses had received that from the Lord. And then Moses said to Joshua, you should, you know, this is why you should be confident, is because of the same thing that I heard from you and the people. And the Lord said this to Joshua as well: I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, it says the same thing to us. To us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And this confidence that we have doesn't come from knowing what we're doing, doesn't come from having enough money or enough health or enough whatever. It comes from knowing that God is with you, that he's going to be with you. He's not going to leave you in the midst of whatever's going on. And so he goes from there: I will not leave you nor forsake you. And then he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And God promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us so that we can be strong and courageous. Not because we're strong enough or courageous enough, but because we know the presence of the Lord is with us. That he is with us and he will be enough for any and every situation. He talks in the next few verses, he talks about being strong and courageous, but being also careful obedience, that it wasn't about doing what they wanted to do. And this is kind of where we get tripped up sometimes, is that we figure out what we want to do, and then we ask for God's blessing in what we want to do, having our own plan. And that's not what Moses and Joshua were seeking to do. They were seeking to lead God's people towards the promised land. It was God's plan that they were a part of. And the call for them, the call for Moses, but also specifically for Joshua, was this: be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. And even very specifically, he talks about the book of the law. Verse 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written in it. That there's this careful obedience, and as part of careful obedience is you need to know what it says. I hate to keep reviewing this, but did you catch last week in the video of the young lady is pregnant and her husband was away on work because he couldn't find work? And she talked about, you know, preparing in the good times. She said, as the skies are blue, preparing in the good times. And as part of that, to know what it says. And so as Joshua is called, two things. Should be speaking it, but you should also be meditating upon it, dwelling upon it over and over again, speaking and dwelling upon it over. And so the book of the law should be on our mouth, in our mouth and in our minds, so that you will do what it says and even can do what it says because you know what it says. Which brings us to verse 10 today. And today is, uh, It's really tying up some things about chapter one and making a transition to actually accomplishing or beginning the stages of taking the promised land. Verse 10 says this, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people. And Joshua is going to address them. And what he's going to say to them is there, prepare to possess the land. Get ready, get ready. Now, many of you come from large families in number, and you've done the family trip, and you have those team meetings, you know, those meetings of the family, and the mother and the father say, okay, we're going to go in a few days, we're going to go. And I think this 3 days is their equivalent of a few days. We're going to go. And so get ready. So get ready to go. And everyone get their backpacks, get your shoes. We're going to go do this. We're going to go do that. Some quickly go to the idea of I need snacks for the road, right? That's part of the provision. I need snacks. I need food. This is the beginning of what Joshua is telling to the people. And as he speaks to them, it's officers. And you say, well, you know, what was it? How did their structure go? What's an officer? Well, if you can think about this, this is pretty hard to understand, but how many people was Israel at the time? There was a census some time earlier in the book of Numbers where they counted just a little over 600,000 men. And so, you know, you can add that up however you want to, possibly as much as 2.5 million people, 2.5 million people. And so we don't really know how many there wasn't, but consider that size of a mob, okay? And as you think about that, this is not just a small group where they play, you know, telephone. Hey, I'm going to tell you, and you just tell the people around you. But like, he called those who were in charge, those officers, that group that would fan out the message. And the message goes like this. The message is, pass through the midst, and this is Joshua to the commanders. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. It sounds very just, I got something for you to do. You got some chores for the day. Here's a list of things to do. Put it on your list. Get 3 days provisions. We're going to go across the Jordan and take the land. But do you understand? Do you understand? And I think that this is the big piece. When did this promise happen? Abraham, right? There was a sense that it was many generations before them. And you think of all that led up to that too, and how Moses, and you can follow where they came from and where they were going. And there was a sense of, from the time of Abraham, it's not probably technically true, but from the time of Abraham, they were wandering, looking for the land. And I'm not saying looking for the land in the sense where they didn't know where it was, or they didn't know where they were supposed to be. But it was a plan that was being worked out in time. And now they're saying, 3 days, we're going into the land. Can you picture that? It wasn't just a lifetime of ambition. It wasn't just for a 20-year-old man to say, I've heard of this my whole life. No, it wasn't just for the young or the old. It was for everyone, generationally, to have heard of this and have known of this and have been talked about the promised land, that we are going to go in and possess the land. So this, however many people are there, they get told to go prepare, to go and get ready, prepare to move, prepare to go. And to pass over the Jordan, even that in and of itself, right? That they would have had, there was a kind of a line in the sand, if you will. It wasn't a line, it was a river. And there was a marking that once we go over, once we, then it's on. We are doing this. And so the river was a visual of what was going to happen and what was going to be going in and possessing the promised land. This word, and it's going to come up over and over again, is to possess the land. And as we look at this, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, it's so different from the idea of conquering the land. It's not just one country conquering another. It's not just the idea we're going to war. We're going to war. It's not like that. It's the promised land, and they call it the promised land because of why? It's promised. By who was the promiser? God was, right? The one who owned it all. And as I talked about before, there's many times there's blessing and judgment at the same time, that God does what he wants, and he is the one in position to do it as well. And so as he desired to bless his people Israel, there was also a judgment for the people of the land. And so as we look at this, we realize that they were going to go possess their God-given land. It was going to go from just simple promised ownership to possession. If we could say this, it'd be like an inheritance, and somebody gives you a house, but it's in a far-off land. And you have the deed, it's rightfully yours, but you're not possessing it because you're not in it. You're not in it. You're not there. And so this is what's going on in the book of Joshua. It goes from God promising, him granting ownership, to now possessing. And I would say it this way too. It's God's time. It's God's time. Time to go into the land. Time to go take and possess the land. I want to tell you, you know, when it comes to God's will, do you want to be before God, before his timing? Do you want to be after his timing? No, you want to be right on time, right on time. And by the way, being right on time on God's timing usually means that you have to throw away your own watch. You have to throw it away. Because so some of you say, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I need 10 more minutes. I need 10 more minutes. I gotta wait. Or others of you are impatient, and you're saying, no, I want to go now. I want it now. Daddy, I want it now. You're impatient. I'm impatient. But what we see here in the book of Joshua is that it's God's timing. It's God's command, go now. It's his promise that he has promised for now. As you look at these verses, he says, you know, go get provisions, for within 3 days you're to pass over this Jordan and to go and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. How did they, why were the tribes of Israel deserving of the land? Why was it their land to have? Why is their ownership simple? It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God to them. And there's so many pictures and so many words that are important, and I'm struggling not to stop on each one. But as you think of the gift of the promised land, I can't help but think of the gift of grace. Why do you deserve salvation? Why is it yours by possession? Why is it your right to have? Because it's a gift of God on the basis of grace. It's not really because of your goodness. It's not really because of what you've done. It's not because of who you are and how smart you are or how rich you are or the place you live. Like, it's not because of any of that. It's because it's a gift of God. It's not the idea of man that they would go into the promised land. It's not the timing of man. It's not the command of man. It's not the accomplishment of man. It is a gift of God. And so as we look at these first few verses, he says, prepare to possess the land. Prepare to possess the land. And get ready. And I would just say before we move on, those are the kind of things that you want to know. It's time to get ready. It's time to get ready. I'm ready to go. There will be times where we know in advance, even if it's just a few hours or days, God wants you to go and do. So get ready, get ready. Don't be slack. For them to get ready, we don't really know what that meant. We assume it was provision. As how were they provided for in the wilderness? Do you remember? Manna was primarily birds as well, and plenty of water at times in different places that God provided, guidance, all these provisions. And there's an assumption, we don't know exactly, but the manna had maybe stopped, and so they were gathering things. We don't know, it might have been. But even there was a sense of like, we need to pack, we need to get ready to go, because God's going to do amazing things. And he's going to say something similar to this in chapter 3 as they go across the Jordan. So prepare to possess. And then in verse 12, you see all hands on deck, all hands on deck. Verse 12says this, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, and you go, what are we talking about? Let's talk about the tribes for a minute, okay? Just for a minute. The tribes of Israel are named after and in lineage to Jacob's sons. And there were 12 of Jacob's sons. And really, when it comes to tribes, there's only 11 of them, because Levi or the Levites were called not to have a position or a part of the land. They were to be the priests. So it was 12 minus one, the Levites, they would be the priests. And then Joseph received a double portion, which went to his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then later on, Manasseh separated, and so there was the half tribes of Manasseh. Which brings us to what it's speaking of here. You have the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And you could go back and you could look in the book of Numbers, chapter 32. You have this, these two and a half tribes. What they did was they had many flocks. They had many flocks. They were the ranchers of the day, if you will. Or they had sheep, goats, whatever, their massive amount of herds. And they found a land prior to coming that they said, hey, this land will do for us. And they went to Moses and they said, we would like this land. We don't want to go and fight and do all these other things. We want this land. This land is good enough for us. And so in this interaction in Numbers chapter 32, you see that they make a deal with Moses, and Moses expresses some frustration that they want to break away and do their own thing. But they promise to Moses, our fighting men will go and fight, but our family and our possessions will stay here in the land while we go and fight. And this is a connection to Numbers chapter 32 with an interaction with Moses. And what does he say? Verse 13 in Joshua chapter 1. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land that they had picked out prior to, you know, attacking and going and doing, crossing the Jordan. Verse 14, your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in this land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses your servant, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. And so as we're walking through this, you see the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are really the 13 if you have the two half tribes. And they're those who are coming east, staying east of the Jordan, are going to pair up their fighting men with the rest and are going to go into the promised land and fight with the family for possession of the land. And all I would say about this is all hands on deck, but also united. I don't want to go down this road too much, but there's a certain selfishness. There's a certain selfishness of these two and a half tribes where they're saying, we're fine. We want to set up shop here. We got what we want. And the deal that Moses made with them is no, you might be fine in this land. You can have this land, but you will fight as a united Israel going in and taking or possessing the promised land. What were they after? I hope you heard it. It's a word that we love. Some of you are going to accomplish this word this afternoon. Do you get what it is? Rest. Rest. In the Hebrew, it can be translated nap time. No, rest. Rest. And as I was thinking about this again, why were they not at rest? Well, obviously they were not at rest because they were wandering, right? They were wandering. They're kind of spinning their wheels in the desert, and it wasn't for a short period of time either, right? You know, it was a long period of time, almost 80 years as it comes together. But what was life like before that? What was life like before the desert? Where were they? Egypt, slavery, right? And as you look at those sons that came, you know, you look beyond. There's really, once again, going back to Abraham, this is many generations of longing and looking for that time, that land, that place. It's not just about the land, though, is it? Because he doesn't say to the land, to the land, to the land. But he says, to enter rest, rest. And it's the idea of no longer traveling, no longer wandering, no longer, it's the idea of security, of rest. It's the idea of home, comfort, security, and permanence. This is what they were longing for. And this is why what God gave to them was a blessing. This is why he says here, Joshua says, that you will enter your rest after the rest have gotten their place or their plot or their rest. And then you will come back and possess the land that God had given you. And so as I look at this, I just want to highlight for you that idea of rest. What were they getting in the promised land? It wasn't just that it was a great land that produced great things. It was that it was going to be a place of rest for them, a place of home, security. Many of you have lived lives where you bounced around and you've lived, you know, I think of some of the military families, and I know of families that have moved many times. They packed up many times. I think in terms of families that have been chaotic. I had a dear friend growing up that he counted once in high school that, or in college when we were talking, and he said I've lived 21 different places in my life, you know, and they bounced around, and it wasn't for a little place here and there, and you know, they were trying to make things happen, and there was no sense of comfort, rest, security. And this was to be that for them. And so as he looks to the tribes, including the 2.5 tribes that found their place on the other side of the river, he says to them, we will go and secure the rest for the others, and then you will come back and receive the rest that God has promised you. Which brings us to verse 16. Verse 16, and it's a repeated call, and this looks a lot like what God said to Joshua. Now it looks a lot like what he is calling these people to. In verse 16, he says, and they answered Joshua, this is these 2.5 tribes, they answered, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. If you look at that, it's kind of whatever, wherever, we're in, right? We'll do whatever you say. We'll go wherever you want us to go. We'll give you the blank check. We'll give you the blank check. Wherever you will go. Verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. As you look at this, you'll see that he says, or probably one of those officers, one of those people that were leaders of these tribes, they would have said, we will do it. We will do it. We will go. We will obey Moses in all things. And by the way, I think this is big talking. I think it's big talking. You think about like your fourth grader when they're trying to compel you, manipulate you. Oh, mom and dad, whatever you want me to do, you know, I'll do always just like I obey dad in everything, right? I will obey you, mom. You know, and you're like, who is this kid? What is he talking about? Almost want to call him a liar just then, right? But as they look upon this, their response is, we will do whatever, we will do whenever, wherever, we will obey. Just as we have obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. And there's a connection there, right? Moses is gone, Joshua takes it, and they say, we will accept you as leader, just as we did Moses. They say this, though, and this is a repetition, a theme that goes on over and over again. He says, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. But what is that? What is that? It doesn't say it exactly the way it said it, right? I'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? God said that to Moses, God said that to Joshua, and now the ones who are following these 2.5 tribes, what do they say? They say this, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. If God is with you like he was with Moses, we're in. And I think this is a subtle piece, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Maybe some of you don't see yourselves as leaders. And I disagree. I disagree. You're always a leader for somebody. You're always a leader for somebody. In your home and in your relationships and your work, you're always a leader. And you may not be in charge, but you're giving a picture of what life should be like by your life. Of course. But we're also called to be followers. How do you know who to follow? How do you know who to follow? I want to tell you. You want to know that the people that you're following, presence of God is with them, right? You don't want to jump off a cliff with someone who isn't walking with God, right? If someone's doing their own thing and they're known to be late on God's plan or ahead of God's plan or doing their own plan or following somebody else's plan or just doing a plan based on math or doing a plan just based on emotions, you don't want to follow that person. You don't want to follow them. And so as they were pledging their allegiance to Joshua, they said, you know, as the Lord is with you, we will be with you, just as he what just as we were with Moses. Verse 18. And this is where it gets pretty wild. And I know that a different time at a different place, and for us in our culture, nobody gets punished for anything that they do. But listen to this. Listen to what the importance of what they saw here. Whoever rebels against your commandment, Joshua, your commandment, and disobeys your words, Joshua, and whatever your command him, whatever Joshua commands this person, if they disobey, if they rebel, they shall be put to death. They shall be put to death. And then he says this. Only be strong and courageous. What kind of leader do people like following? Strong and courageous, right? Especially if they know, you know, if it's not just them, right? It's fun to follow someone who's strong and courageous, but if you saw the movie Rambo, I wouldn't encourage you following a guy like him, right? There's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. And there's this idea that we can have chaotic exuberance and excitement, and our mind is bigger than our muscles are, and we can do anything. And there's this idea that we're extremely confident, but confidently wrong. It's not just about strength and courage. It's about the one who is strong and courageous being strong and courageous because they are connected with the presence of God. They're following their God. They know him well. And their desire to follow after Joshua was connected to him being in the presence of God, but also being strong and courageous based upon his relationship with God. We will do it. And so as you look at this last section, really the call there is be strong and courageous. I want to tie up this passage by talking about some of the major themes of the book of Joshua. And there are three that I want to point out. I've already pointed them out, but I want to highlight them. The first one is take possession of the promise. Take possession of the promise. And as I formulate this and I think about this, it's reiterated over and over again. Go take the land. Go possess the land. Go take what is yours because of the gift of God. There's a song that we've been singing, and I told Zach, and we're going to sing it a lot more as we go through the book of Joshua. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Isn't that an odd line? Why would I fight a battle that you've already won? It's what we're talking about in the book of Joshua. It's taking possession of that which is promised. The God of the universe, the God of the day, the God of you and I and all of creation, he has promised some things, and for us to trust him and take possession of that which we've received. The second big theme that I see in the book of Joshua that we just need to understand and to really fixate on it for ourselves is this: seeking to enter rest, seeking to enter God's given rest, the place that he has for us. I think so often about how life is so tiring. Can I get an amen? Life is tiring, right? Uh, and And some days are more tiring than others. Some seasons are more tiring than others. And there's this idea of, well, why can't it be easier? Why can't it be easier? Why can't there be a sense of goodness and of rest? And I want to say this, that when it comes to the promised land, there was a place and a time, but it was across the Jordan. And as we even hope in heaven, there's a place in the future. But I think the thing that I struggle with as I look at this, and I see it in the 2.5 tribes, and I can imagine it being in the other tribes as well, is there's this idea, and they struggled with it in the wilderness, is saying, maybe we should go back. Maybe we should go back into slavery. At least I knew what that was like. Maybe I should just hang out here in the wilderness. You know, it looks a little dangerous over there. I heard stories of the giants in the land. Maybe we should just stay here. But the idea of for us to seek the God-given rest that he has for us. And then lastly, probably maybe the biggest theme, I don't know. There's others as well, but the two pieces of success, and there you could say there are three, but there two are grouped together. The two pieces of success go like this. Presence of God, that I would walk and be close to my God, that I would seek the presence of God. And the second piece is this, that knowing the presence of God, knowing what his word has said, knowing the obedience that he calls me to be strong and courageous, to be strong and courageous. Where does that come from? It comes from knowing our God, knowing his promises. We can be heroic, we can be strong and courageous because we know the outcome. We know the one who promised. And we know that he's faithful, he's good. And it's not just for a period of time, but generationally we even know that. That he is good and kind and that he can be trusted. So that we now, in the midst of whatever's going on, both good and bad, both scary and that which seems peaceful, we can act in strength and courage because we know the God who walks with us, the two pieces of success. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. I ask that you'd teach us much. I ask that you'd remind us much of what your word has said. And I ask that you would help us to be men and women of faith. Not faith in just the unknown, but faith in you. We trust in you. We trust in what you've said is good and right and trustworthy, and that we could march to it and we can do it even when it's scary because we know you. God, do your work in your church. Prepare us for difficult times. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.